This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the 6 p.m. class for today, June the 11th. Glory to God for the stunning miracles that there are times when miracles are beautiful. They are a way of God telling you to shut up. So, like today now, today we had a lot of shut up miracles that you try to see if your brain is working. You pinch yourself and you try to sleep and wake up and see if maybe you are dreaming or maybe it was just, you know. One of such days is today. I'm eternally grateful to the Lord for some of the things that I'm seeing in my lifetime. Of course, it wasn't as if it was totally dead. There were few and far between the days of the Babalalas and the Daosas, and they are not prevalent. And then we are used to seeing them done by specific kinds of people. It didn't become common knowledge. Ordinary Christians were not healing the sick and raising the dead when I was growing up. When I said ordinary, I mean the laity, the people that are not wearing cassock or wearing collar, or bearing a title of pastor or prophet. In fact, many of those who are even wearing collar, they cannot raise the water hose to quench fire. If there is fire, they do not know another. All the mindset we had when we were young were negative prayers. All the churches we go to, they are programmed to pray with you on family calls, family battle, everywhere you go. Doesn't matter either your bank manager or your security leader. They are just programmed to give you that mindset that somebody is chasing your destiny, somebody wants to kill you. That was the church that I grew up in. And to see believers in the last few days, where we've gone for the convention or the retreat, and to see young believers, you know, I was chatting with one of my students. I didn't know she's 18 years old. 18. All of my students. So this young lady, I think she's a SFBC school 25. She should be on the call now. She sent me a message that a baby that the sister or somebody gave birth to a baby, and the baby was stolen or baby was lost. And glory to God, 18. And she called me and we spoke, and baby was found. Baby was located, 18 years old. 18. You know what I was doing when I was 18? Do you know how that builds faith? You understand? We deliberately build memories so that it conditions our reaction in dealing with situations that we face in the future. So when somebody is growing up and their conditioning is that every time there's a problem, they should blame it on the devil or on witches. When they are 40, if they are working in the office and they make a mistake, guess who they will blame? The devil, witches, when their marriage is not working, and they ought to sit down and think and say, "Ah, let me do the right thing." They will blame the devil or the witch in their father's house. So conditioning over time in the memories that we build automatically gives us a default as to how we react to stimulus. So imagine that at 18, somebody is standing on her feet and bringing a lost baby back. Imagine that at 17, somebody is saying no to the rain and the rain is listening. Imagine that at 20, somebody is seeing visions of heaven and the person is seeing them and the power of God is breaking out. Imagine that at 22, somebody, a child of God, is walking into an establishment full of the consciousness of the anointing and turning things around because of the power of God in him or her. So imagine that person's trajectory. Imagine when that person is 40. So one day we were at the prophetic service, and the word of prophecy came forth. I forgot who gave the prophecy. And the person said, "You are looking for a file. The file is on the second drawer, in the second office by the left of so department. If I look at my phone, if I search, I'll still find the prophecy." Prophecy was dropped. A few days later, this brother at his own office began to search for a file, and the file could cost him his job. He has done everything he could. Everybody in the office has searched. They couldn't find that file, and they needed to use that file that day. He just came back to the minister group and he said, "Please, where is that prophecy that they said about one file?" And one of the ministers went and said, "This is the prophecy." And the brother went, and the brother found the file. The prophecy came before the problem. Prophecy came on Friday night. Problem came on Tuesday. And this didn't happen in the days of. This is, I'm not talking of old, in the days of Abiola. That's what I'm not talking of in the days of Babalala. No, I'm talking that in this day, in the days of his power, now, right now. By the grace of God, I've dedicated babies, and some of them, if you check my Twitter feed, you will see the baby, you see the picture, you see the mother. I dedicated the baby that the mother did not have. They got married in deeper life, husband and wife. And she never disclosed to her husband that she had never had a menstruation before in her life. She was born with a condition. She was the only child of her parents, born with this medical condition. Right in Nigeria, she noticed it. Her parents flew her abroad to America so that they can treat it. They were treating it, and then she met somebody that wanted to marry her, and she just fated it and married the person, and they got married and they couldn't have children, and then of course because they married in deeper life, it became a clash between the two families because she didn't disclose fully the truth, and so the family of the husband, all of them are in America, they began to give her war. And the husband began to fret over the marriage. The husband wanted to back out. Of course, because it's deeper life, he couldn't just back out. But he now had an excuse that she didn't fully disclose her condition, her health condition. And so, because of that, the husband began to change. He wouldn't sleep at home. He would move. He would do this. He would do whatever he liked. And this lady wrote to me on Twitter, the DM. I still have it. And she said, I was wrong. I was wrong that I didn't tell the truth. I was wrong. But was it, am I not supposed to desire to have a family, to have children? I didn't give that to myself. I want to have a family. I want to have children. And I couldn't even have a relationship because of this condition. And so I was afraid that if I told him, he would just walk away like all the other people that had asked me out. So I decided that I will not tell him. So I didn't tell him. I agreed that I was wrong, but I love him. I didn't want to lose him. And yes, after we got married, I still didn't tell him We spent a lot of money. I was lying. But he has found out and he's going to leave now. Is God not merciful? Can God not answer my prayer? Can God not give me a child? Can God not give me children? Is it compulsory that I must have this period before I have a child? And you know, the principle of the period is that that is the egg. It means that if you cannot have your period, you basically don't have eggs. And so, where would all of us are educated. Well, what kind of English was she speaking to me? But the challenge she raised was that is there no God? Are you saying that there is no way? This is my life. Oh, and I said, oh my. I said, for the questions you have asked me, because you asked this question because of God, and especially because of the vilification you are facing from the church. Tell anybody that the church is fighting, I'm automatically the person's friend. If the church is fighting you, I'm your friend. If pastors are fighting you, I will automatically take your side. I never take side of pastor. But if anybody is fighting pastor, I will take side of pastor. Outside that fighting pastor, I'll take side of pastor. Or pastor fighting church member, I'll take side of church member. Because I know religious people. So I said to her, I'm going to find the testimony I'll share. It's on jezobelmybengalmon.com with pictures. And I told her, I said, when next is your husband coming? He said, oh no, that has already packed some of his load, that he will come back to pack the rest that night. I said, tonight. If we will see him today. She said, yes. I said, no problem. Make dinner. Shower and prepare yourself for your husband. When he comes, tell him that he should give you goodbye sex. Tell him you are not holding him, that he just give you goodbye sex this night. And so while they were in America doing the goodnight sex, I was in Nigeria praying. You have to understand, I was praying in tongues in Nigeria to help people that are copulating to conceive in America because of what she said. Is there no God? Is there no mercy? And at that time, I think it was 2018, 2019. So many of the things I know now, I didn't know them then. So I'm very quick to explain myself to people. I know many things now, but I knew them as a result of my work, my relationship with the Lord, and PSSBC class, which I teach every day. So the more I taught, the more I studied the scripture and I taught, the more I knew, and then the more I had revelation of the word of God, and the more I was able to walk in the supernatural. As at when I started PSSBC, I was a newbie. I didn't know anything. One student will testify. I used to apologize to them. I would tell them that, see, I know this thing, but I don't know how to teach it. So I told them, I said, don't graduate. That's why PSSBC does not graduate till tomorrow. I said, don't graduate after the school. Wait for school two, because by then I'll be better. And then wait for school three if you want, because by then I'll even be much better than I was before. So those who are joined PSSBC will notice that the new school is always better than the previous school, because I am also growing. It's part of my own process too. I'm learning and then I'm teaching. So it's not as if I knew it from anywhere before. So they had the goodbye sex. And after they had the goodbye sex, she called me and she said, Raiwenga is gone. I said, don't worry. In 2 weeks, he will be back. She said, amen. 2 weeks later, she went to the hospital and she was pregnant. When she took the test results to their church, Deeper Life Church. I don't want to mention the name of the state because I don't know how many Deeper Life churches are there. They said she should come, don't want to run their own test because she had been proven to be a deceiver and a liar. So they felt she went to manufacture the result so that she can get the man back. So they took her to the hospital themselves and she was pregnant. And the pregnancy grew. And they said she should move back to church, that she and the man, they should be attending that church. Because she wasn't from Deeper Life, she married to Deeper Life, and she said she didn't like the church. But they insisted that now that you are pregnant and your husband is back with you, this is the church you'll be attending. We want to see the pregnancy grow. We don't want any surrogacy. We don't want any, we want to see. And she delivered on the Sunday after service, they rushed her to the hospital to deliver that baby. The heavens were screaming. There is a God of mercy. There is a God who is powerful. There is a God who can tear logic, reason, and sense into pieces. There is a God at work in you. A God that is at work in you. The anointing that you have is not a joke. Some of us also will remember the story of Sister Mercy. And this previous one made me remember this one. Some of us here will remember a story. Mercy Imoike, that's her name. Omoike or Imoike. Okeade, married Imoike. She got pregnant and they said she had a problem with insulin. The problem she had with insulin means that the baby was growing too big in her womb. So they said she had to take some insulin shots to regularize whatever her system. Otherwise, by the time she's 3 months pregnant, 2 months pregnant, baby outgrow womb. So the baby will be forced to abort because the babies are getting too big for her womb. She's the mother of giants, if you see her children. But then she didn't have any child. So then she had been calling me, praying to have a child, praying to have a child, praying to have a child. And her father was a reverend. I always respect men of God. Even though, like I told you, I'm always on their side, except when they are fighting the church member. I will not be on the side of church member because I don't like pastors fighting their flock. So the flock will always be right. In any discussion, a pastor must never have altercations, fighting, bullying a church member. If you do that, you have basically ruined all of Jesus' work. But this man, this reverend, has gone through a lot. And this daughter of his deserves to have a child. Because whenever the man was sick, Mercy will be the pastor of the church. She is the standing pastor for her father. She will be the one to preach. She will sing in the choir. All the counseling that the pastor is supposed to be doing, Mercy is who all the church members go to. Their church was located at Okokomaiko. And so this girl basically runs the father's church. Basically runs her father's church. Now she got married and she's a twin. So she's, I don't know, zero the one they call them. The other sister has gotten married and the other sister had children. And she kept having these abortions, kept having these abortions. At the point, her body couldn't take it anymore. Womb was damaged because of the last one that she had. And so they said, oh, you have to be patient. Be patient. Don't get pregnant again for a while. Let your body heal. So I went to Paracourt. The husband works with Avicare. I was flying back home Christmas Eve, December 25. 2019, December 24, Christmas Eve. I was flying back to Lagos. I got into Arik. And lo and behold, it was her husband that was the part of the crew in the plane. He saw me. Ah, David, how are you? Came to hug me, greeted me. Went to the first class cabin to when they were giving people their packs in the plane. Went to bring the first class, the one for, because I didn't sit in the first class. Went to bring me the one from first class. Said, ah, pastor, I cannot give you ordinary this and this. Gave it to me. I then asked him, I said, how is your wife? Said, she's fine. I said, your wife is keeping a secret from you. He said, yeah. I said, yes. I said, when you get home, tell her I said she's keeping a secret and that it is time for her to reveal the secret to you. December 25 came. David went home. Got home, asked the wife, what secret are you keeping? I mean, I said, you are keeping a secret. The wife said, I'm not keeping a secret. You are keeping a secret. I'm not keeping a secret. They picked the phone, they called me. I said, Mercy, you are keeping a secret. She said, she's not. I said, you are keeping a secret. Say, I don't know. I have no idea. I said, you are keeping a secret. The Lord said you are keeping a secret. So I know that the Lord does not lie to me. You are keeping a secret. And the Lord said to me that you should share the secret with your husband. So then she told the husband that I'm not keeping any secret deliberately from you. But let us go to the hospital. I've been feeling somehow of late. They got to the hospital. Mercy was 5 months and 2 weeks pregnant, and she had no idea. How can somebody be 5 months and 2 weeks pregnant? 5 months. And she had no idea. Period was coming regularly. Period would come. She was recuperating from the last abortion that she had. So period was coming. Body was just getting back together. She did not take any insulin injection. So when she got to the hospital, the doctor cried. The doctor said, "Ah, you are a wicked woman. You are a wicked woman. Do you know the weight of this baby now? You should have been, as soon as you got pregnant, you should have been here taking the insulin injection, because this thing will tear your womb, and there'll be no way to rescue this womb." The doctor started screaming. Doctor put her on 1 month bed rest straight, that she shouldn't do any work. She should not do anything. She just stay at the hospital. She called the doctor. They are insulting me. My husband is angry. I said, "Don't worry. You did not keep the secret by yourself. God kept that baby in your womb so that this baby will survive, so that this baby will live." Many of us will remember the day Mercy delivered her baby, gave birth to the baby. I remember I was at Suruleri on a Sunday ministering, myself, Femalade, art worker, Brother Bukola. We took three cars. We ran to the hospital. She delivered that baby, and the baby died. When the husband called me, I said, "Ne never ever. Baby that the Lord told me about when nobody knew about. Baby when I who killed this baby? Who is the person that has the right of life? No, let's go." So it wasn't about speaking in tongues. It was about fulfillment of God's word. The word of God does not die like that. I heard clearly from the Lord that this woman was pregnant. And so she cannot deliver the baby, and are telling me it's insulin. The baby's heart was not beating well. The baby was not going to make it. Baby was, what's English? So we drove down. We drove down there. Some of us said we will remember. We took pictures there, we did everything. We drove back there and we brought the baby back to life. David will be maybe 4 or 5 years old now. That's the name of the baby. Why am I sharing this? I'm not new to the miraculous. If there are no miraculous, I would never be a Christian. There is nothing in Christianity that I want that can make my life better. If there's no supernatural in it, there's nothing. It offers no advantage whatsoever if there's no supernatural in it. That's the truth. I can never do any religion. I was too cerebral to consider anybody's ideology as good enough for me. That's the truth. If Christianity does not have the supernatural, if I'm not doing this, if I cannot see God, I cannot see angels, I cannot see. There is nothing you can sell me about Christianity. What do you want to tell me? You want to tell me the morality? Are you drunk? You want to tell me about morality? You want to tell me what? There's nothing in Christianity if the supernatural is not, there is nothing else. It is a waste of time, energy, and life without the supernatural. That is the truth. That is the truth I know that convicted me. So when I was doing Christianity with that, I would just play in hand. I would just be laughing at people. Sometimes I will argue with born again Christians, and I will bring them out of their born again conviction. I will unborn again them. Tell if it's a fine girl, when I was on campus, when I was in UI, if it's a fine girl and I wanted to date her, and she come with evangelism tract, our pastor is in trouble because she will not return to that church without hearing some sound doctrine from me that will make her question everything she has ever heard about God. Because I always thought that it was just some belief system that I would put together until I encountered God and the supernatural. It was supernatural in the Christian walk that fascinated me. I was one of those who saw the bush that was burning, and it attracted me. The ability of the anointing to do the impossible, to shatter beliefs. The power of the anointing, the glory of the anointing, it was the only thing. It was the only thing. And so when the supernatural begins to beckon, especially when we are praying like this, when I see Christians who don't engage the supernatural, who think only in terms of the natural, who are very logical, I pity them. I pity them. I've studied history. I read well. Some of the smartest people in the 16th century were Christian. Some of them, Isaac Newton and Co., all of them, Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, all of them. Even through the Dark Ages, some of the smartest minds were Christians. They allowed them, the Catholic Church at the time, allowed those who have a brain to use it. The Christianity that is being practiced all over the world now is deliberately making people dumb. It's killing people's ability to think. Because it is indoctrinating people into a particular way of thinking, and all of them end up serving pastor, serving church, and at the end of the day, they cannot innovate, they cannot think outside the box. The prayer points are terrible. There is nothing fascinating in it. That's why I wouldn't buy any church doctrine for two cents on the dollar. I can never do it. But the supernatural is where the believer should begin to realize the depth of the power of God in his or her life. The supernatural. When we talk about the days of his power, we are talking about the days of the supernatural. No? The man of God that I used to listen to, suddenly I stopped listening to him. The reason I stopped listening to him was because I noticed that he began to talk more about money and about his success, the schools he built, and all that. And I didn't like that. That is not supernatural. See, anything money can buy. Anything money can buy. That's not supernatural. But it is important that a Christian should be able to engage supernatural in such a way that money is not involved, and yet things are getting done. Money is not involved. There are times when money will fail, when money cannot do anything again. That's where many of us then try to use the supernatural. Somebody is sick. We are taking person to all the hospitals. They will have used all the whatever. They never first engage the supernatural. When every other thing had failed, and they told them radiotherapy has failed, chemotherapy has failed, or whatever other therapy has failed, and then they will tell them, just give him a few days, he's going to die. I remember a case that I got where the doctor told the father, ask him what he wants to eat. I'll be buying it. Just making him happy now. He's going to die. So if he wants to eat anything, just give him whatever he wants. He's going to die. Just the last few days of his life, just do everything to make him comfortable and happy so that he will die with a good memory. And then the father reached out to me and said, ha, they've given my son a death verdict. The doctor said, all the doctor said is a goner. Do you know the young man is in America now? No, he's in the UK now. He's in the UK now, married, had a baby. I named the baby. I named the baby when I was in the UK maybe 2 years ago. And yet, medicine said he was a goner. Now, that is why I became a Christian. That is the kind of Christian that I am. That is the kind of Christian that I'm hoping to raise. That is not a one-off. in my life, the supernatural is not a one-off. I deliberately daily try to engage. Because it is so easy to lose it. What do I mean by that? The more you prosper, the more you use money to solve stuff, the more you forget how to pray. A lot of people will say, even I say it sometimes. I was telling my wife today about a brother that reached out to me, and he said, oh, he wanted to travel abroad. They didn't give him visa. He works for an international company. And I told him, I said, this is not a prayer issue. This is not a fast and pray for me. Visa is not a fast and pray for me. So I gave him somebody's number. I said, call Brother Chavivi. He will arrange your journey. He will tell you what to do. He will help you set it out. He would. And the man picked up his visa today. He sent me the testimony. God has done it. I'll be traveling. I've gotten my visa from Abuja. And I said, oh, glory to God. That's in quotes. Yeah. It's a miracle to him, right? But you understand my point. It is a miracle to him now. When he has started three or four times, it will no longer be a miracle to him. It's always a miracle. The first time is always a miracle. So these things will no longer be a miracle. But to disdain or to have this kind of inheritance and to neglect it. To neglect it. To be praying like this, praying in tongues, morning till night. And then you are going somewhere. You forgot your passport at home. You didn't even try. You didn't even try. I remember I was going to the Australian embassy one day, and I got to the embassy and I realized that I've left my passport at the hotel in Ikeja. And I was already packing. And so instead, I drive all the way back from Lekki to Ikeja. All that, I talked to the Lord about my passport. And so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not going to drive. It's on my bed. I can see it in my mind's eye that I left it on the bed. It was because I was trying to make the appointment. I went downstairs to print some documents. By the time I would get back upstairs, I just picked the key, car key, and I dashed out. Now I'm here. I have printed document and key, no passport. How do you want to get the visa without passport? So then, Lord, I need my passport. And then I sat down there for about 2 minutes. Then one of the guys that are parking the cars came and came to knock on my window. Ka-ka-ka. I opened. He said, I cannot park here. I should take the car down the street because there they are collecting a certain amount of money, whatever. So I reversed the car, went down the street. Parked the car and then I saw my passport right at my feet, as if I was pressing it with the pedal of the car. I said, "Thank you, Lord." I picked my passport. I went to the embassy. There was a logical way to solve it, but I tried to be deliberate to engage, because if you don't practice, it will atrophy. You know what they call atrophy? When you have a part of the body that is healthy. Or you don't use it. You don't use it well. Some people, their brain, some Nigerians, they don't use their brain at all. So it's not because they don't have a good brain, because they don't use it. Their brain has become atrophied. Atrophied. When I read some of the comments that people are writing and they are arguing and they are retweeting, I'll be like, the quality of thinking has been so watered down. I couldn't believe that these are 2025 thinking. I remember how we used to think in the 90s. We didn't have social media. We were better thinkers than this generation. I remember the arguments I used to have with my classmates, the debates we used to have in secondary school. And then I'll see the debates they're having online, and I'll be like, this generation is brain lazy, dumb. They don't want to use their brain. And it's because of this phone, these gadgets. All of them, they are so used to pressing phone, pressing laptop, pressing this. So they don't use their brain anymore. So they have become automated like robots. So they just tap on the computer and they will say, oh, let me get the software. Let me do this. I'm doing tech. I'm coding. How can you be able to code the whole world and you cannot hold a proper conversation or process things in your thoughts to have a sound? How? And so when I look at the way they think, I look at the way we used to think in our generation, I'll be like, oh, I don't know. I'll just be praying for this generation that because it seems it's getting worse. But for the Christian, you see, the supernatural helps you to become wise. The Bible says it is profitable to make one wise. Said when you are reading the scriptures, it is profitable. It makes you wise. Naturally, there is a breath upon the word of God that just gives you wisdom. You are just infused with wisdom. So a Christian naturally should be outthinking unbelievers. That's plain. Now, when it comes to the ability to do, a Christian was now given extra power. Unbelievers do not have that power. Only believers have it. These signs shall follow those who believe. That was a direct edict of Jesus. If you believe in me, you are going to do these things which those who don't believe in me cannot do. You are going to raise the dead. You are going to heal the sick. It has nothing to do with me. I'm a pastor. I'm a prophet. I was sleeping one day. I heard a loud thunder in my ear. God has come into ministry. Then I now went to receive power. No. The moment you become a believer, the power to do the supernatural was given unto you. To then ignore it, that's where I'm going. To have such a mighty power and not put it to use at all. And put lamentation in your mouth. I complain about this, complain about that. Complain now that it is cheaper to eat out than to cook. And people are writing it, and people are arguing. And I was like, wow. Like, this is a serious problem. These are Christians. Not all of them are unbelievers. These are Christians. But their brain is not working well. And that means those of us who are Christians, because we can see the way they are thinking that, all right, these people are dull, right? So you know that you have an advantage, but we are not using the advantage. I don't know why we are not. We should take over spaces so easily. So easily. We should take over anywhere. Because people are not so smart as they claim they are. If people are smart in this generation, but people are not so smart as a group there. A lot of people are not smart. And Christians are smart. You have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You cannot be working in a place and you are not exceeding expectations. It is not acceptable that you are dropping the ball despite all the advantage that you have as a believer. If you understand my class so far, can I see your hand? You get it. So that's where I'm going. You cannot have all this advantage. And yet, when you compete, you come last or you come second. No. You should be like Daniel. You should be far. It should be so, the gap should be so wide between the Christian and unbelievers. The gap should be so wide. People, unbelievers should be saying, ah, we want to be Christians. It seems those Christians are a cult now. They're a cult. They know everything. Yeah, I should join them. I should join them. Yeah. I should join them. In this office, when they employ a Christian, things work. How do they do it? I want to be a Christian. That should be the positioning that we are, the position we are in right now. That's the truth. It was the position that the three Hebrews put Nebuchadnezzar. It was a position that Daniel put King Darius. That is the position we should put the world. They should want to serve our God, not just because he's a mighty God, but because we are mighty on the earth. People are attracted to power. They're attracted to wealth. They're attracted to success. Everything we need to be successful, we have. Engaging it is a problem. Some of us, the reason we are not doing so well is because we allow the cares of this world. You see, the principles of the supernatural are quite simple. Jesus taught all the principles, all. First thing Jesus said is that the value of a man is not measured by the things he has, his possessions. Jesus Christ said, cast your burden upon me. My yoke is light, my burden is easy. So take my own yoke. Take my life. Your own life is too heavy. All the worries, a man or woman that is full of worry cannot walk in the supernatural. People that are worrying, that are often very troubled about things, they cannot do the will of God. I know some people that their life is always from crisis to crisis to crisis to crisis. I used to look at them, I'd be wondering, how are you making your decisions that your life is not a life of ease? Today, they are chasing you. Tomorrow, you are owing somebody. Next tomorrow, they've sacked you. 2 days later, husband has left. 3 days later, your friend that you are squatting with has chased you. So when I look at the exchange, maybe WhatsApp chat exchange between myself and the person, I'll see that it's problem after problem after problem. Problem, solve it. Problem, solve it. Problem, solve it. Problem, solve it. When are you going to have a consistent life? A consistent life where there'll be ease. And these are tongue-talking Christians. So you are not, you are pushed here and there by the winds and the vicissitudes of life. So therefore, you can't even. So again, you have the power to peace be still. It's not just a word. It's the quality of a Christian who is looking at his life. You are looking at your life. And you're like, why am I being tossed to and fro? My heart is doing 180 kilometers per hour. I cannot sleep well. I cannot, I have high blood pressure. I have this, it's as if I'm on a sea and the sea is turbulent. Everywhere I turn, there is pain in my left hand, pain in my right hand. My heart is not happy. My husband don't make me happy. My children are not making me happy. A Christian, no. And the Christian is not like, no. This is unacceptable. This is not the question of I'm going to meet somebody to pray for me. This is a Christian self-auditing. Auditing yourself, saying, no. Why do I have problems everywhere? I'm saying peace. No, I don't want this trouble. Okay, what do I do to get out of this? I want peace. It's not a prayer point. We don't engage. We refuse to. So somebody that is thinking of paying children's school fees and all that, he cannot be thinking of healing the sick. In his head, what the school fees is everything he's thinking of. Or somebody that landlord is chasing up and down for rent. That's all they were thinking about. That would be all. Engage this supernatural. And be deliberate about it. You can't pray in tongues for hours like this. Do you know? It is dazzling to pray in tongues, to make declarations, and then you sit down, you are broke. You didn't say, thank you, Father. I bless your name. Money, in the name of Jesus, I command, come to me from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. In the name of Jesus, I command, come! You don't do that. But somebody wrote a declaration in a book. You are reading it. I shall be water garden. I shall be a well watered garden in the name of Jesus. Good things will come to me from the north in the name of Jesus. You read it. But when you are reading it, it doesn't produce results. The reason we write declaration is so that you get used to it. You see, there is the sleeping word and there is the active word. There is the logos and there is the rhema. When you are reading something from a book, it is logos. It is meant to inspire you that this is what you should do. So you read it, say, hey, This is what I should do. Then, when it is time to do it, you will then do it spontaneously. You will not go and say, ah, where is that declaration? I want to read it. No. The words will then flow from your spirit like this. You come out of your mouth. You'll be praying in tongues. Just say, ah, thank you, Jesus. Now come, bring it to me. Bring it to me now. Direct the cost of this money to my house. By tomorrow morning, I want to have money for this project complete in the name of Jesus. And you turn your back. And you are not doubting it. You go to sleep. You wake up in the morning, there is money. And some of people are like, what? Yeah, I'm not kidding. I'm telling you God's truth. But many of us don't engage the supernatural. So if you are not engaging the supernatural, what are you a Christian for? You cannot carry gun to say you want to do jihad. You cannot throw anybody to death. You cannot. So what is the exciting thing that one would say is a Christian for? It's a puzzle to me. The supernatural is Christianity. It is not any church doctrine or any liturgy or any moral code. Every religion has a moral code. Christianity was not given to us to maintain morality in the society. that's not why we became Christians. A lot of us have reduced Christianity to our skirt is short, our makeup, the way she did her hair. We have reduced Christianity to rubbish. That's not Christianity. That is rubbish. That's the truth. That's absolute rubbish. That's not Christianity. Christianity has nothing to do with how somebody dress, how somebody has something, all those things. They irritate my spirit when I see people do them. The power of God unto salvation. That is what it means to be a Christian. To be able to display the fullness of the power of God. April 23, 2021. One of our sisters, Sister Modupe, was getting married. Myself and the husband were in the UK. But the family were in Nigeria. So the two families will meet here. And then they will do a video conference. And then the husband and the wife will dress over there. And I was asked to be the one to join the couple. So they booked a hotel for me in Lagos to sleep. So I slept there. Next morning, went for the wedding. I was there. Sister Mata was at the wedding. Dr. Lado was at the wedding. We had a good wedding. Wedding was beautiful. We did the wedding. All of us are dispersed. As we are dispersing, I wanted to go back to the hotel to pick my bag. I met this Turkish guy. Came to me, greeted me well. Said, are you interested? My mom was sick. She's in the Keja. I'm a sailor. My mom was sick. I'd like you to pray for my mom. So can you stay in this hotel till tomorrow so that I said I'm checking. I said, no, don't check out. Can you stay this until tomorrow so that you can come and meet my mom and pray for my mom? Why did he do that? The previous night, Friday night, when I finished teaching my class 10 to 11, I left my hotel room, went downstairs, sat down under the sky. I usually do that. I usually like sitting down either beside the pool or beside the river. Whenever if I see a river, I like to sit around rivers. Or if there's a natural pool, I'll just sit there. The reason is quite simple. I can easily tell you what it is. I was reading Revelation chapter 4, and I saw that before the throne of God, there was this crystal sea, right? And one day, I saw a vision, and I saw a reflection of the reality of life. And I realized that, wow, no wonder in the book of Genesis, the only thing that was in the world at the beginning was water. Water is extremely vital to the supernatural, extremely vital to creation, extremely vital. So whenever I want to do anything creative, I like to just sit around rivers. I'll just pray in tongues around rivers or water. I'll just sit down there, just pray, and just pray in tongues or a pool. So I was by the pool, and I was just thanking God. And These guys, about six of them with their wives, all of them were Turkish. They were sitting down, they were eating. One of them ate something that he shouldn't have eaten because he was allergic. And he began to have this allergic reaction. His face was puffed up, throat was closing. He couldn't breathe. He was holding on to people. He was choking to death. At first, they didn't know what was wrong. When they knew what was wrong, the wife ran upstairs, trying to look for, I think they call it EpiPen, what they would use to help him. I didn't know what was going on, but I could see the commotion. So I walked over to them. When I got to them, they were making a lot of noise. So I just said, shh, so that they can be quiet, because I wanted to know what was going on. And when I did, shh, the guy just went still. And then the tongue that had come out began to roll back inside. Everybody looked at me. All of them knew I was the determining factor there. They knew that it was this guy that came here. And the reason I didn't have to pray much was because I just finished teaching my class. So when I'm teaching my class, the anointing of the Lord flows. That was how the man got healed. That was why the next morning, by themselves, they came to meet me to say, come and pray for our mother. Please imagine that it was EpiPen that I had in my pocket that I gave them. And I'm a Christian, but I'm also a doctor, so I now had EpiPen. So when that guy was dying, I now rushed to them and I said, oh, you people, why didn't you say you have allergy? And then, beat his chest, beat his chest. And I put EpiPen. I didn't know how to use it. I don't even think I've seen it before. Let's say it's an injection. And I injected him. Boom! It now got better. They will say thank me. They will say, ah, thank you, doctor. God bless you. You're a lifesaver. But it will not save their life. There will be no salvation. There will be no miracle. There will be nobody from Turkey who I can boast today that had become born again Christian. They will have clapped for me, but they will have done it for me. They wouldn't have met my Lord. They wouldn't have met my Savior. They wouldn't have met the Holy Ghost. They wouldn't have been able to walk in the reality I'm walking in. If all I do was just to help that man medically. But because I did it supernaturally, they by themselves said, so the next day I went to pray for his mother. From there, he said, oh, we want to keep in touch. Pray with us. We are traveling. You know how it is when people will come to you and say, well, just say a word of prayer over me. Just say, you will know that the person you have already gained mastery, and then you can direct the person in the right course the person should go. This is how you must be a Christian. You can't be praying like this and still not deliberately engage the supernatural, still not speak to circumstances, still not speak to the mountain, still be saying, Lord, it's your mercy I'm looking for. Just have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord. That is not the prayer of a born again Christian. Let me say it again. If not for your mercy, I would be consumed. That is not the prayer of a born again Christian. A born again Christian, we are the mercy of God. Aye, Benga. When God wants to show somebody mercy, I told you the sister that married the husband and deceived him. What did I say? She said, is God not merciful? So what did I say I did? I said, I then took it up. Why? Because I wanted to show her that you don't need to go to God so far. See, I'm a child of, I'm a son of God. I will show you mercy. I'm not the one that will be begging for mercy. He said I should walk boldly into the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Was that what the Bible said? Did he have to pray for it? He said to obtain mercy and grace. So I walk in, I obtain it. It is my right. I walk in, I take it. And then I dispense it. So a lot of Christians, again, they don't know how to appropriate the gospel and the word of God. We cannot pray like this and not engage the supernatural. The dead are rising. People are standing on faith to provoke the supernatural in ways that are stunning. Glory to God for today's testimonies. Glory to God for the one that came back from the dead. Glory to God. Glory to God for the sister that said, my sister will not be buried. They were supposed to bury that sister tomorrow, My staff will not be buried. She will live. Glory to God for such an outstanding audacity of faith. You should have the same. This is why we pray. Now it's time to give our offering. The offering I'm using today for the glory of God is for the less privileged. It is not for the ministry. A lot of people were writing. Somebody just wrote in now. Needing school fees. I send everything by mail. I told him that send it by WhatsApp so that I can vet it properly. I want to be sure that the person is not trying to do it by you for us. Because some people do that, but we vet them well. So people will reach out for help, and we help. We help. Because God said we should. That's why we do. We are obedient children. We are children of the world. We are children of obedience. So I know that all around us, we have people that one way or the other, God has inspired us to help. And that is very good. God has also instructed that as a ministry, at this time, we should help those who need help. The poor, the widow, destitute students, the hungry. And we are doing that throughout the month. We do that all year round, but especially at this time, we do that because the Lord said we should. So please, as you give, bless the name of the Lord for the abundance that you are enjoying, the supernatural abundance that He has granted you. You are the blessed of the Lord. You are a city on a hill that cannot be hid. All things are yours in Christ. Your hand will not be dry. In the country where you are located, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be a center of grace, a channel of blessing. The country will respond to you. The nations will respond to you. The wealth of nations will be yours to distribute. You are helping one or two today. The time is coming, and it will be very soon. You'll be helping hundreds. You'll be taking them out of slums. You'll be taking them out of poverty. You'll be taking them out of prostitution. You'll be establishing them in righteousness. Your ministry over them will delight the heavens. Give God the glory. Give God the glory for all the good things He has done. Now, I want you to talk to the Lord and say boldly, I will engage the supernatural. I will not neglect my inheritance. I will not despise my inheritance. I will not act as if, because I can do things naturally, the supernatural is an afterthought. No, my default is supernatural. I will do things supernaturally. It will be my first point of call. It will be my first point of call. I will do things supernaturally. I will walk in the supernatural. I will respond to the Holy Spirit. I will not put the Holy Spirit in a back seat. I'm not going to put the Holy Spirit in emergency contacts. It's going to be my main contact. Thank you, Father, because you've done this. Glory be to God, because you've blessed your people. Because all of us are blessed of God, and great is our peace. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please shout glory.
Glory.
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.